I love, how many of you guys love Christmas? Don't you just love it? I love the holiday. I love everything about Christmas. I don't care too much about the gift. But, you know, it my grandkids, you know, I enjoy watching them when they get excited. Because we did at one time, right? Remember when you got a present, you get excited, and it's great. But why don't you go ahead and open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, as we're going to look at Matthew's account of the birth of Christ. And I love that when you read the different Gospels and how they wrote their personal experience with Christ and everything that they saw. And I love how it's all different, you know. And Matthew, obviously, he was more in depth or more in detail than all the other Gospels. And so I really like Matthew, but I like them all. So it's cool. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, and we're actually going to start in verse 18. But before we do, I want to read something that Greg, you guys know who Greg Laurie is, right? So would you say Greg Laurie is about what? He's about in his 70s, maybe, or late 60s? It's got probably have to be in the 70s. I'm going to read something that he wrote. And then I'm going to read you a letter that I intercepted to Santa Claus from a 7-year-old, okay? Listen to what Greg Laurie said. He said, "Christmas cannot be all that we want it to be. It's only a holiday. Christmas cannot bring harmony into your home. Christmas cannot bring peace on earth. Christmas cannot bring happiness. But Christ himself can do all this and more. That is really what we are longing for deep inside. Not Christmas, but Christ. Not merriment, but the Messiah. Not goodwill, but God. Not presence, but his presence. That's what I want for Christmas, Jesus Christ." Now, Greg Laurie wrote that. And then, like I said, I intercepted this letter. It's written to Santa, and it's from my granddaughter, Gia. And so she wanted me to mail it to Santa. You know, he does have an address if you go on there. It's one of the post offices. So she wanted me to mail it off, so I opened it up, obviously, because I'm Santa. I'm Santa Claus. Okay, you got to say, not Santa Claus, Santa Claus. And this is, listen to what she says. You just heard what Greg Laurie wrote. This is what Gia wrote. She wrote, "Gia Isabella Flores, for Christmas, I want for Jesus to come back and for a Merry Christmas." Isn't that awesome? And I thought, wow, can you imagine if Santa Claus was able to deliver that? She says, "All I want for Christmas is for Jesus to come back." So let's look at Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to start off in verse 18, and we're going to read to I'm going to read to verse 25, and then we're going to look at these verses. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Now that the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which has conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins.' So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,'" which is translated. Okay, let's say it again. Right? That's translated. You know, when I think of that, I think it reminds me of when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey and how everybody was laying down palm branches in their coats. And what were they saying? Hosanna, Hosanna, God in the highest. You know, save us, deliver us. And so here in verse 23, it says, it's translated, God is with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. Father, as we look to this account, just these few verses, Lord, we want to thank you for the greatest gift of all, and that's Jesus, the birth of Christ. Lord, as we look at this birth and all that the outcome of it, the start of a whole new life for us in the world and for this planet, Lord, your plan. When I think about the span between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, there was this 400 years of silence. And then all of a sudden, Lord, you just hit the light switch and says, time for salvation to come forth. And we want to thank you, Lord, for saving us. Saving us, Lord. Thank you. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, again, I love the way Matthew writes it, you know. And so as we look at Matthew chapter 1, he gives us God's plan for our salvation, because this is where salvation began, at the birth of Jesus Christ. Right when Jesus was born, that's when salvation started for the world. It was coming, and things were changing. Again, you got to remember, there was this 400 years of silence. Nothing was happening between the book of Malachi and here in the Gospels. And I love the way God has everything planned out. 400 years between there was 400 years that his people were in bondage, enslaved in Egypt. I mean, something about numbers. God is into numbers. And so our salvation began at the birth of Christ. His birth was the greatest gift that was ever given to the world. The birth of our Lord and Savior. And you got to think about it, because without Jesus being born, there would have been no crucifixion. And if there was no crucifixion, there would have been no resurrection. And if there was no resurrection, then there would have been no hope for not one of us. And I think that would explain what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, when he said, if in this life alone we have hope in Christ, then we are all men most miserable. But look what it says here in verse 1. Go back to in chapter 1, verse 18. Look what it says. It says that the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So look what he says. Look what Matthew says. He says, Jesus' birth was of the Holy Spirit. And never in anybody's lifetime before man has there ever been someone who was born of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the only one, and he had to be born of the Holy Spirit, so therefore he was born sinless. And if he was born sinless, then he would be able to what? Forgive us of our sins. Because nobody can forgive sin unless they're sinless. Because if you were going around trying to forgive sin, then you would be saying, hey, do what I say, but don't do what I do. Because we're born natural sinners. But Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. And this is why Mary and Joseph did not have any type of relationship till after Jesus was born. And then the scriptures is the evidence. What we just read, that's the evidence of all this happening and the truth of what was happening, along with the Holy Spirit that's in our life that proves that what we read is truth. And I think the biggest miracle of all is what? A changed life. Your life is evidence and proof that Jesus was born and conceived by the Holy Spirit. The scriptures prove it. And what the scripture says, you know what? Everybody's going to have to either accept it or they're either going to have to reject it. Because before Mary and Joseph came together, it tells us Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And that was the start of our salvation. That was the start of our faith, of trusting in the Lord and his love for us. In fact, God himself is revealed in the scriptures, all throughout the scriptures, of how he was caring and loving for others and for us. I mean, we're talking about the love that was set out to save us from our sins. Look at verse 20, jump to verse 21. Look what it says. It says, And she will bring forth a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for what? He will save his people from their sins. And it still happened 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, and it's still happening today. We are being saved from our sins. From our past sins, from our present sins, and from our future sins. I mean, that's how much God loved us, that he was willing to save us from our sins. And the beauty of it is that when he saved us is not when we had our act together. He said when we were yet still sinners, he died for us. I mean, that's the greatest event that could have ever taken place in human history. It started off with God becoming one with man. Emmanuel, meaning what? God is with us. I mean, can't you feel it? God is with us. Can't you see it? Even in the midst of what's happening, can't you see that God is with us? Look what he's keeping us from. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were telling me how God was, the things that God was protecting them from. I said, you really don't know the whole truth, because there's a lot of things that God has done that protected you don't even know about. And when we get to heaven, we will see. We will see how God has protected us. And you're probably wondering, well, why did God didn't allow me to do this and do that? Well, you'll find out when you get to heaven. But you know what? The Bible, it doesn't really specifically say how old Mary was, but we know, and a lot of Christian scholars, they believe Mary, she was only 15 or about 16 years of age when she was found to be pregnant with a child. She was a teenager. And when I think of having our first child, Carmen was 17 years old. But obviously, she wasn't conceived by the Holy Spirit. she was, it was a sinner, me. but she was a teenager when she was found to be pregnant with the child. She was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And that was the start of a whole new relationship for her. And that was the start of a whole new relationship for us. What happened with Mary, her being conceived of the Holy Spirit, that changed her whole life and her relationship with God. And that was the start of us having our whole life in a whole new relationship with the Lord as well. She was carrying the Son of God. She was carrying our Lord and Savior in her stomach. And that led to us to be able to carry the Holy Spirit in us when Jesus was born. We have the Holy Spirit living in us now. Isn't that awesome? And he's living in our hearts. Mary had Jesus in her stomach. And now Jesus, he came, and when he was born, that was the start of our salvation. That was the start of us being born again. And now he comes and he lives in our hearts. But can you imagine what Mary was feeling knowing that she was going to have the Savior of the world? Think about that. As a teenager, the only other teenager I know that was I'm not going to say perfect, but was so blessed and was such a godly young man was Joseph. When he was sold into Egypt, he walked with God all by himself and a teenager. Can you imagine? And here Mary also being a teenager and having the Savior of the world, the Messiah, God's Son, and God himself in her stomach. I think the closest that we can ever imagine that would be probably the first time we ever accepted Jesus into our hearts. Remember when you accepted him into your heart and how your life was changed, your life was excited, and you God was just moving in your life. That's when the Messiah came into our heart. We were filled with the Holy Spirit. That was the greatest event that has ever taken place in our entire life. We became born again. And Jesus obviously said John chapter 10, he says, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Well, guys, that's exactly what happened to us. That's exactly what happened to Mary when she was conceived by the Holy Spirit, she had a whole new life, and she had a more abundant life. This is what happened to us. Our lives have never been the same, and they never will be. Right? Isn't your life different? Knowing that you have Jesus Christ in your heart? Look at what verse 19 says. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So obviously, you know, Jesus coming on the scene, it did create a problem here in the life of Joseph. So, you know, he thinks that, you know, he doesn't know it yet. You know, he's not married to Mary yet. They are engaged. They are they were put together by their parents and everything. But it was kind of like a marriage. It was a commitment. They were committed to one another. And so you can imagine what he was going through. But here in 19, it says that Joseph was a just man and that he was not willing to make her a public example. That would indicate that, you know, he had this deep troubled spirit inside of him about what was taking place. Well, what was he troubled about? What was bothering Joseph? Well, now he's totally, literally torn between obeying the law, which the law was for him to expose Mary to the elders and to the leaders of the synagogue because she was pregnant and not by him, expose her to the authorities. And he was torn between his love for her because he loved her. So you can imagine that struggle that Joseph was going through, that mental stress that he was feeling at this point. He was troubled. And I'm sure he was even disappointed. You know, I can't imagine this. Imagine this. You know, his imagination probably ran wild. He probably played the what if game or woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know, he probably felt deceived, jealous, and angry. He probably played, again, that game of letting his mind wander and anger and everything. You know, you got to think about it, guys. What if? Or if your husbands or boyfriends, what if that was your woman who you were engaged to and you found out that she was pregnant and you're not the father? That's a lot to go through. Well, this is what Joseph was going through. So I want to give you something to think about here. First, at Jesus' birth, when he was born, that created a predicament for everyone, just like Joseph. He went through different emotions and hurt that, you know, he was feeling when he discovered Mary, his fiance, was pregnant. So when Jesus was born, it just created this predicament for everyone. The reason why I say this, because everyone was now forced to make this decision about Christ and his claim to being the Savior of the world. So you're either going to accept him or you're going to reject him. When he was born, that was also the start of everybody coming to the knowledge of him being God's son, the Messiah. Everybody had to make a choice. His birth brought forth our salvation, but it also brought forth accountability to everyone. And then secondly, in Joseph's mind, her sin was really great. She had committed this great sin against him. That's what he was thinking. And yet, he cared for her so much. He loved her so much. And he was, and his love that he had for her was so great that he didn't want to bring her into any harm to her. And that's just like Jesus, right? Isn't that how much he loves us? Romans chapter 5, verse 8 shows us that God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were what? Still sinners. Joseph's mind, he was thinking Mary sinned. But it didn't hit him to the point where he turned her in or took her before the elders and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, because if he would have, they would have stoned her. They would have killed her because she was pregnant and he wasn't the father. But he loved her so much that while he thought she was a sinner, he had this great love for her. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Peter says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love what? Covers the multitude of sin. And this is what Joseph was doing. He loved her so much, he wanted to cover the sin that he thought she was having, because the angel hasn't yet appeared to him yet. So he's thinking the worst. But he loved her so much that he wanted to, he didn't want to expose her to have any harm or anything. So like God and like Jesus and like Joseph, if we truly have God's love, you know how important it is that we need to express that love, and we need to make sure we're not critical, judgmental, or harmful to others as well. We have to learn to trust God, and we have to learn to get along with one another, seek the Lord in our problems, in our situations, just like Joseph did with Mary. Ephesians chapter 4, 32, Paul said, to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has complained against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. This is what came out of the birth of Christ. Jesus came and he brought this love when he was born. When he grew up and he was walking around, he brought love to the world. And he was loving their enemies, especially the Romans. You know how they felt about the Romans. And they thought Jesus was going to come and they were going to fight the Romans. He was going to deliver them and from the oppression of the Romans. And he was telling, hey, you guys got love. You got to pray for them. You got to do good to them. And this is why they kind of didn't like him about that, right? But there's something else I want you to think about. Because Mary is described by God as what? Being highly favored in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. That phrase, highly favored, it comes from the Greek word, which it essentially means much grace. Mary had much grace. She was much favored by the Lord. So Mary, she received God's grace, and that unmerited favor, grace is the blessing in which we received, despite the fact that we don't deserve it. Mary, she received it. She needed grace from God. She needed a Savior, and just like we do. And Mary knew this because she declared it in verse 47. If you look at verse 47, she says, my spirit rejoices in the God of my Savior. She knew this. She knew she needed the Lord. And then there's Joseph. Look at verse 19. The Lord looked at Joseph and said, hey, Joseph, her husband, he was being a just man. He was a just man. So if Joseph was a just man and Mary was a virtuous woman, that means they both were godly. They weren't perfect, obviously, but they were God-fearing. So Joseph was learning or actually leaning towards putting Mary away in secret and not pointing her sin out to the authorities there, or making sure that she wasn't treated bad or even killed. Now look at verse 20. And so while he was leaning towards this, thinking about it, it says, while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, Joseph is now, God is exposing his plan to Joseph. And you know, notice this, that here in verse 20, it says, while he was thinking about what to do, as he was seeking the Lord, he was probably praying, God spoke to Joseph. God met his need emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically. God gave Joseph this special revelation because Joseph was doing exactly what he should have been doing. And that was he got away with God, and he was thinking about and he was praying about what he was going to go through and what he was going to do. And because of his actions, God met his need and God's purpose was made known to him. He went off to be with the Lord. How important it is for us to go before the Lord before you make decisions, or if you're going through something in your life, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and pray, because this is what he did, and God gave him this special revelation. He was praying and seeking the Lord. Hey, should I put Mary away? Should I turn her in, or should I put her away secretly? And God met her need. Look what he says in verse 20. He says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he called him Joseph, son of David. Don't be afraid to take your Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Man, this was the reason why his fiancée was pregnant, without his help. She didn't need his help. This baby was not going to be like any other baby. He was going to be the savior of the world. Hey, ladies, how would you like to raise that kid? Can you imagine being back then and the angel came to you and said, hey, you know, you're going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and he's going to be the Son of God? Can you imagine what your life would be like? Or guys, if the angel came to you and said, hey, you know what, your wife, before you're married, obviously you wouldn't have been married, but your fiance is going to be pregnant and it's going to be the Son of God and he's going to save the world from their sins. And I want you to notice also that the angel called Joseph son of David here in verse 20. He called him son of David. Joseph, he was afraid when the angel appeared to him. Now he's probably shocked as well. You think about it. He was just in this deep sleep. And then he was awakened and told that he was chosen by God as the son of David. Have you ever been in a deep sleep and woken up from something? You know, that and just, well, let's see. 2 days ago, I'm in a deep sleep, and I was woken up to this, like, screeching noise. It sounded like birds. I have a tree in front of my house, and the birds, a bunch of birds sleep in there at night. They always go right when the sun comes down. I see all these birds going in there, and they sleep in there. Well, I was hearing a lot of noises, and I'm thinking, and then I looked on my camera, and I saw this thing rolling in my driveway. I said, oh, it's a cat. The cat is going in the tree, and he's eating the birds. That's what I thought, okay? That came to my mind. And it was loud because it was real quiet, but it was like all these screeching noise. And so I got up and I looked out the window, and what it was a couple of skunks on my driveway. And I've never heard skunks like this. And you know, I'm not going to tell you what they were doing, but they were in my driveway, and I'm like, oh, no, it's time for me to put the trap and to relocate. You know, I thought, okay, hey, maybe I can catch them and give them away as Christmas presents. But, you know, I was woken up to this noise, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And so you can imagine what Joseph was. He's here in a deep sleep, and then and the Lord speaks to him and wakes him up. I mean, how would you like to have a dream like that? Joseph was told that he would be the earthly father to the Son of God, the Messiah. What a high calling that was. You know, the Jews, they knew the prophecy that the Messiah was going to come and he'll be from the line of David. And I'm sure Joseph knew this as well. But to hear it himself, being told that Joseph, thou son of David, I'm sure that got his attention real fast and made him very aware of his divine calling in his life. I mean, how many times have you been woken up by the Lord and the Lord speaks to you? You know, you got to remember, Joseph was only a carpenter. And this revelation from God through this angel was going to order his steps. And it explained his predicament that he was going through. And to top it off, it revealed his calling and his destiny and the destiny of his child that Mary was going to have. He was going to be the Messiah. Man, I can only imagine having the perfect child. Jesus had to have been perfect. Can you imagine having he would have been one of those kids that say, hey, you know what? Go get in trouble. You know, you're too good. Do something, you know. I see a movie where they'll say, hey, you know what? Come on, go out and get in trouble. Do something. You're too good. Jesus was a perfect child. He was amazing, and in fact, he was, at the age of 12, he was found in the temple teaching the Pharisees, the priests. He was amazing. Perfect child. And you know, and the Lord is still doing the same thing for us today. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, and at many times, in many various ways. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him made the universe. They weren't when Jesus came, the prophets, it was over with. Now God was going to speak to everybody through his son. Now, isn't God speaking to us, to you through his son, Jesus Christ? Through the word of God? I mean, the Lord is constantly revealing to us what his will is and our calling in our life. And it's done through the word of God. The very scriptures that we have that are true and they're embedded in our hearts. I have them in my heart. And just like Mary and Joseph, we have been given a new relationship with the Lord. And every day we experience his mercies that are new every morning, right? And every day we have this relationship with the Lord. Every day we have his peace that passes all understanding. We have his joy. That's our strength. That's our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. His grace is sufficient for us. His hope, it's a new living hope. And he's constantly revealing his divine nature to us so that we won't fall into the same old routine of having this religious relationship. We have a personal relationship. This all came through the birth of Christ. You got to think about where you're at and what God's doing in your life. It all started when Jesus Christ was born of Mary. Man, it's amazing. We have a personal relationship because that's what God wanted. He didn't want no more play-acting relationship. God wanted us to have a real experience in having a relationship with him. And look at verse 22. He says, and all these things were done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they should call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, what? God is with us. What is it translated? Okay, you got to get excited about it. You know, it's like, God is with us. Yeah. God is with us. You know, I get excited. You know, I get excited when I say certain phrases and certain things about the Lord. I mean, we have so many Old Testament prophecies about Jesus Christ being born. Many believe that, you know, the number of the messianic prophecies are there in the hundreds of thousands. But here, I'm going to give you a few that are considered the clearest and the most important prophecies that are regarding Jesus' birth. One is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Where it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him, what? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? There you go. That sounds better. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and in of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient of times. These were all written before this all happened. Isn't that amazing? That's why the Bible's so real. Everything that it says is coming to pass, or it will come to pass. It's real. How can they deny it? How can they say there's contradictions? They can't. They say it's full of contradictions, but they can't show you. They can't show you. But they'll say it is, many times, hey, it's contradictions. Oh, yeah, where? Oh, I don't know. It's in there somewhere. It's written that Jesus would be born and he would come. His birth was a fulfillment of prophecy. In Matthew, he stressed two prophecies in particular. And the prophecies predicting the virgin birth and the prophecy predicting his name, Emmanuel, which means? All right, yes. That's what we just read in verse 23, exactly what we read. And then we read it in Isaiah chapter 7. Now look at verse 24. Again, then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took from his wife, and he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Again, you know what? Jesus' birth not only brought the salvation for all who would receive it, but also that we could be saved from our sins. We are forgiven. But his birth also brought about this great obedience. And what I mean is that Joseph, he obeyed God in spite of his great predicament, in spite of all the things that were going on and what they looked like. Joseph obeyed and he did exactly what God said. Because our God desires obedience, not sacrifice. He desires obedience. And you can imagine how difficult it must have been to take Mary. Now she's pregnant. They weren't married yet. Joseph had nothing to do with this. So you can imagine how much gossip that was probably going on. They're probably their closest friends. And that's probably why they had to leave. The neighbors thought what the neighbors thought. And yet, in spite of all that, Joseph obeyed God. He took Mary as his wife. And they were telling the story how the angel of the Lord told them that this was all the work of the Lord. And I love telling that story about what God's doing in my life. You should be excited about what God's doing in your life. And you should be sharing what God is doing. Amen. And I know when Joseph was sharing and Mary was sharing, they were hoping that those who they were sharing with would believe the story that the angel, about the angel and how Mary was going to have a child and she was a virgin. That was the story that they were sticking to. And Joseph did exactly as God said. And I think a good lesson for us to learn here is that whatever we did in the past year, whatever we did this year, or what we're going to do in the new year, may we be obedient just like Joseph and Mary were. Be obedient to the Lord. John chapter 14, 21. Whoever has my commands and obey them, he is the one who loves me. And who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. In John 15, chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus said, if you obey my commandment, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandment and remain in his love. I have told you this so that your joy may be in you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that you lay down your life for his friend, that you are my friends if you do what I command. And I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business is. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father would give you whatever you ask in my name, and this is my commandment, that you love one another. So be like Joseph and Mary. Be obedient and tell the story, the greatest story that ever took place, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to leave you with this. As Christians, you know what? Christmas should be a time of what? Celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? You know how Jesus, he humbled himself. He was born in a stable, in a trough, and from the presence of the heavenly host in heaven. Angels came from the saints to a barn full of animals, sheep, cows, donkeys, chickens, horses, and pigs. You name it, they were all there. The one who created everything that exists became flesh and blood and allowed himself to be dependent upon those who he needed nourishment and love and warmth and care from. God. Christmas isn't about presents. I want to read this. They did a British psychiatrist. He did a study on men and women during Christmas. And you know what they found? Listen, that Christmas shopping is exactly hazardous for men's health due to the raising effects of their blood pressure, while the blood pressure of the women remain unaffected by the holiday shopping ritual, because for women, it's Christmas shopping year-round. Right? Amen? Yeah. So, you know what? The greatest story ever told. You read it. I mean, it. You got to read it from Matthew. You got to read it in Mark. You got to read it in Luke's perspective and John about the greatest gift of all. And Sunday, I'm going to show a neat video. You know, it made me cry. Dan said it made him cry. But Dan's always crying. No, he isn't. And it's amazing. And then we're going to do a flashback of Luke chapter 1. So go and enjoy your time with your family. Share the greatest gift of all. Share about Jesus. Before you get into presence or whatever you do, share the story about the birth of Christ and share what the true meaning of Christmas is. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for that greatest gift of all, Lord, for your son being born, Lord. I can't imagine how it was like of 400 years of silence, of you not speaking or nothing going on. And all of a sudden, bam, the angel appeared. And God said, it is time. And salvation came. Jesus Christ was born and he walked this earth and he changed the lives of many, and he's still changing lives today. Thank you for changing our life, Lord. And Lord, as we go and spend time with our loved ones, Father, may we have the boldness to pray for them, the boldness to share Christ with them, share about the greatest gift of all, and that is a son was given. And we want to thank you, Lord, and we want to ask that you prepare us for the new year. May 2022 be the year of our Lord. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas, okay? Christmas. That's what you say. People have been walking around and say, hey, Merry Christmas. I said, Merry Christmas.